Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of life. Help us to understand and do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We get distracted by all that goes on in life. The serious, the interesting, the boring, the joy. What a variety. Plus, we get to watch and observe what God is doing. How normal and natural that is as we understand more of what life holds for us and as we make an effort to reach beyond our own life and relate to God and to others. And not just focus on ourselves. That's just life experience. Speaking of life experience, I remember when I was a young adult. I went to London for 3 weeks, and I learned to get by on not a lot of money. Well, at that time, there were a lot of protests going on in London, and there were street demonstrations. I read about them in the newspaper, and I saw them on TV. And one afternoon, I was riding on their underground subway, and I was standing up, and a very well-dressed man came onto that subway car and sat down. He opened a manila envelope and took out a report, and he quickly read through the 12 pages of it. And I simply looked over his shoulder and read right along with him. The report was not addressed to anyone, and I noticed it was not signed by anyone. The contents of the report described how in just 10 days from then, a spontaneous demonstration would occur at the intersection of two streets downtown. And there would be mothers with baby carriages at the front of the demonstration, and they would distract the police who came out to control the demonstration. Well, I stayed on that train for quite a while to see where that man was going, but he just kept going. And I ended up going back to my room, and I wondered what I ought to have done in that situation. Well, anyway, that event was the beginning of my seeing that events were not what they appeared to be. As my life continued, I went here and there, and I attended public meetings, and I even spoke at them. And I found out that mostly the newspaper articles were not accurately describing what happened at those meetings. The meetings happened, but the reports in the newspapers talked about some minor part of the meeting, and they made it appear that that was the major part. And they might not even mention the major parts of that meeting. So when I saw this kind of reporting, it just made me question. But also, I did travel, and I would fly from one country to another sometimes, and there would be an event that was written about in a newspaper. I was able to see different newspapers from different countries write about the same event, and you know, those articles were very different from each other. It seemed they didn't even describe the same events sometimes. They were very different. And I did learn to question what the news report, what they reported on and what they wrote about. You would think I would have known this after all the history that I had taken. I'd read lots of history, and I knew that the events were not what was written about all the time. The history books, some had very different descriptions of the events that happened for the same event. So why wouldn't it be true in today, in the newspapers, in the news that we hear about? Well, it made sense, but it just didn't pass my mind at that time. I was too busy with all the things in life. And besides, I wanted to believe that the people who I was familiar with that is, the people in charge, the authorities, were telling the truth. Oh, well, the people in power did not always tell the truth. And I should have learned that. I did learn that lesson, but I should have remembered it. I should have remembered what I'd learned in history classes about the Hegelian dialect. And that said, the problem, reaction, solution. And it was also called thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. So it's been described by many words throughout history. All the different famous people seem to have their own description of that kind of thinking. Men like Mao, like Stalin, like Hitler, like Marx, like Socrates way back when, they all had that description. They all described that situation, even though they used different words to describe it. The principle was the same, and the goal was to manipulate the masses of people. So I think it's the same today. The people in charge want to manipulate the thinking of the masses. They want to manipulate the behavior of the masses. And it becomes our job to look after our own selves and to live by our own core beliefs and principles. That, I think, is so very important to remember. Look at and understand what our core beliefs are. What are those principles? And when you can recognize what they are inside of you, and what a good and godly person you can be, well, it becomes a good thing to understand what your core beliefs are. And it might also help you to read and reflect on what is written in the Bible. The Bible has good things to say about discerning your thoughts and beliefs and actions. What values you have in life. It's a good book. I know one of those things is that great commandment in Matthew 22:37. And to quickly say it, it is to love God and to love your neighbor. So it's a very important principle. Whatever you do, you start with the basics of what you understand. And to have love and to show compassion to others in need, or just plain to everybody, it is a very important principle. It is. And I think it also helps as we go through life to have some of those extra physical things that we need on hand. And that way we can share them with the people in need. And they're as basic as water, food, and warmth, and community with Christian principles. So maybe you will have other basics, and if you do, that's good, that's fine. But just recognize them and try to live by your good, well, I call them Christian principles. Those are the basics. I think of those basics. Of the needs that we all have, water, food, warmth, community, and Christian principles. So after anything happens that's a kind of a disaster, it might be a natural disaster. And I think it's good to remember all those basics of what is needed. Everybody can have a different idea, but remember the basics. Natural disasters, they do happen. And it can be from wind or from water or volcanoes or earthquakes or a cyber event, cyber warfare. All of these things can happen and more. The electricity could be affected. Just for regular things, not just a great big huge event, but like PG&E. They were expecting to turn off the electricity to 77,000 customers. for at least one day because they were expecting high winds and they did not want their electrical wires to touch an arc and possibly cause a wildfire. So, yes, even just ordinary things like wind, your electricity could be turned off for, you know, a day. Or the PG&E, they said it might be 4 days. Therefore, I think it's only reasonable to plan for surprises. Whether they're little surprises or big surprises. You know, you might have a big one like a forest fire or a kitchen fire or even the Oroville Dam breaking. Yes, surprises happen, and so do the plain old little ones like a flat tire or a fan belt breaking. All these different things happen, and we can consider what might happen and have some preparedness steps. So think about what you can do to prepare for surprises. You might, for instance, want to keep your gas tank above the halfway mark so that just in case you have to leave your area, you can, even if the gas station loses electricity and can no longer pump fuel. You know, without electricity, they can't pump fuel. So, well, think about the what if, and a lot of people have a to-go bag at their front door. And that's always a good idea, too. What would you have in your to-go bag? Let me see. There, you could put some documents in your copies of your documents in your to-go bag. It might be your banking things or your insurance statements. You might want to cover up your balances when you make copies of those items, though, but have your name and your number and the institution's name on it. That's a good idea. And then it makes it easier if you have to make a claim or get into an account. It's just easier to have copies. So have copies of that. Have copies of your identification. You might have photographs and mementos that are important to you. I have a list of written phone numbers. Remember your currency and checks and credit cards. Your cell phone and charger. A computer, if you want that, and your charger for that. Extra glasses. Your hearing aid with extra batteries for anything you have. And your medicine. And copies of your prescriptions. A map of your area, an extra set of keys in case you want someone to check on your place while you're away from it. It's just these things are good to have in your to-go bag. You get to figure it out, though. Always things to have. And then there's just the regular things that everyone should have. Water, food, and clothes, a warm coat, and a cap. And if you have a pet, remember its needs. You will want your pet carrier and pet food. And have a list there in case there's time to look it over. Sometimes you just have to go and get out immediately. But other times you can take a couple of minutes and look over your list of things that would go with you. So, lists are good. If there is time, well, have your list available. And everybody should have their own list because everybody has a different list of what should go with them. And it does help to check your things off a list or read them off the list. And things can happen quickly. Things can happen without warning. And whether it's a car problem or a forest fire, or even, do you remember earlier this year, there was North Korea. They posed a nuclear threat to our nation. Yep. And Hawaii, they got that warning. And what did it say? It said, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Well, that was quite a message, don't you think? It went over Hawaii's emergency broadcast system, And we still don't know what actually went on. But we do know that for that warning to be made public, it had to pass through 5 levels of approval before it was broadcast. So obviously, something was going on. And earlier in this year, there were other things going on. Remember the United States bombed Syria? Do you remember that Russia said that there would be grave repercussions? So who knows what will happen or what won't happen? All these things are going on, and Syria or anything else could certainly cause a huge war. It could even be World War III. We don't know. And earlier this year, again, there was North Korea. Now, maybe they're not a threat. Maybe they were. But can we even dismiss the fact that North Korea has 2 satellites that go over the United States every day? And North Korea has stated in the past that one is for weather and one is for observation. And yet nobody can verify what is on those satellites. They were launched in secret, and what is on them is really a secret also. There could be a small nuclear weapon that is designed to produce the maximum level of EMP, electromagnetic pulse, and that could destroy our electrical grid. Those 2 satellites that North Korea has that orbit the Earth, they are at a height of 289 miles. And that's approximately an ideal altitude for an EMP weapon to go off at. The United States tested a nuclear blast in 1962. They tested it with an atmospheric nuclear detonation. In 1962, it went off at an altitude of 250 miles above the Earth, and the test was located about 800 miles away from Hawaii. And when that test was done, it knocked out nearly all of the electricity in Hawaii. No electricity in Hawaii. Wow. Apparently there were some military generators that survived that blast, but that is what an EMP blast can do. It can knock out all the electricity. Wow! Do you remember that television newsman Ted Koppel? He researched the EMP, and he found out that if there was a nuclear detonation, it could really cripple the United States. And he was so alarmed at the devastation it would cause that in 2015, he wrote a book about it. It was titled Lights Out. So Ted Koppel, he also bought each of his children a large food supply. Now, he didn't really talk about what anything was, no details about it, but he made it sound to me like he had bought each of his children a several-year food supply. Interesting, isn't it? And then you have Dr. Peter Pry. He's a PhD, and he was commissioned by the United States Congress to do a study on EMP. And that was in 2008. And what he found alarmed him so much that he has been writing and speaking about EMP ever since. Peter Pry famously said that if America had had its electricity knocked out after 1 year, between 60 and 90% of its population would die. I heard that. I did not want to believe it. But as I thought about it and considered what it meant to go without electricity for 1 year, well, it took me a couple of months to contemplate this, and I I came to agree with what his conclusion was. There would be a lot of people who would die if we had an EMP and were without electricity for 1 year. An EMP is that electromagnetic pulse, and it's caused by a nuclear detonation or a nuclear accident. There is also a CME, which is a coronal mass ejection. And that occurs naturally. It happens from our sun. There have been several of them which have hit the Earth over the last centuries. The one that really got everyone's attention was in 1859. And that CME hit the east coast of the United States directly. And it melted their brand new telegraph lines and various barbed wire fencing on the east coast. It melted the metal, and the drops of melted metal fell into the grass, and it caused prairie fires all across the east coast of the United States. And that event was called the Carrington Effect of 1859. Carrington Effect, 1859. And nobody knows if those events have happened before, because there was no long lengths of wire in existence before that time. But after that, there have been several of them, and they've been documented. In 1920, there was one. There was another CME, and it made a direct hit over the Atlantic Ocean, and it damaged the transatlantic communication cable. And after it hit that cable, the cable had to be repaired before it could be used again. So, you see, these things really do happen. There have been other CMEs since that time, but they did not impact the Earth like the Carrington Effect of 1859 did. So, natural disasters, they really do happen. Historically, we have had to deal with earthquakes, too. Especially in China, there have been some major ones. And it was not unusual to have 100,000 people die. It's so hard for us to grasp. 100,000 deaths. But there were a number of earthquakes that went on, and they did cause that kind of death. Oh, and do you remember there was the 2004 Indonesian earthquake and tsunami? Now, that one produced a wave that was over 50 feet high. And what happened was it went inland and it killed at least 230,000 people. That was in 2004. So earthquakes happen, tsunamis happen, natural disasters happen. And you know what I say, get a little prepared. I know earthquakes can be big events. When I was young, I remember the 1964 Alaska earthquake because I had a planned trip, and that planned trip was to go to Anchorage. So 2 days after that earthquake, I went to Anchorage by plane, and I walked around the streets of Anchorage. I saw the damage. I saw what that earthquake did to the very new, just opened, JCPenney department store in Anchorage. The earthquake wrecked the building. Huh, it was a big damage. And it also shocked me to see a huge earthquake fault not too far from the JCPenney building, pretty close to it, in fact. It was an 8-foot wall of dirt. Just a wall of dirt where that fault line was. The earth simply dropped away, and that 8-foot wall went for hundreds of feet in each direction from that JCPenney store. So, of course, I remember the traffic. It had to go around the fault and that 8-foot wall of dirt. It sure It was a shocking experience for a young man. So the traffic diverted, people went around it, people got by, and people helped each other. It was a huge event for Anchorage, Alaska. Hey, another true story was a man I know. He was in Fort Bragg at that time, Fort Bragg Harbor, actually, and that there was a tsunami from that 1964 Alaska earthquake. It wasn't a great big tsunami, but it sure affected all the boats in the harbor. So that tsunami, well, people in the harbor could see the water all quickly leaving the harbor. And what happened was it happened so fast that many of the boats came down hard on the harbor floor, and many of the boats cracked. And then when the water came back in, the boats got full of water and they sank. The boats were lost. There was a Coast Guard boat assigned to the Fort Bragg Harbor, and they had received prior warning that there was going to be a tsunami from that Alaska earthquake. So they took that Coast Guard boat into the deep water off the coast, and the Coast Guard boat survived just fine. So my friend, the man, he asked, at the time, he asked the Coast Guard, why did they not alert anyone else? Why didn't they alert the other ships and boats that were in the harbor? And the Coast Guard representative replied, because they did not want to panic the public. Huh. Well, it just made me wonder. I've heard that kind of thing said before, where the government did not want to panic the public if there was some big emergency, some big natural disaster coming. Would they warn us? Yeah, maybe they would, and maybe they would not. Probably they would not warn us if they knew a big event was coming, and that's just another reason to get prepared on your own for whatever might come. In 1989, I was in the Loma Prieta earthquake. That was in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was right in the middle of that one. It seemed like it wouldn't stop shaking, and yet it only lasted 15 seconds. The Loma Prieta was about a 7.0, and a few years later, there was another earthquake in Southern California called the Northridge earthquake. That was a 6.7 on the Richter scale. The Loma Prieta and the Northridge earthquakes both lasted about 15 seconds. And both of these earthquakes wrecked freeways and took down overpasses. But here's what got my attention. Right here in our neighborhood, we have the Cascadia subduction zone. And that's where the continental plates collide. And it's a little ways off the coast of Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and Vancouver Island, Canada. That's how far the Cascadia subduction zone goes. The USGS, which is the United States Geological Survey, what they said is they would expect an earthquake in the Cascadia subduction zone to be at least a 9.0 on the Richter scale. That's huge. The USGS website says that the difference between a 7.0 and a 9.0 earthquake is... See, I was in a 7.0, so I knew what that was like. But a 9.0 is 100 times bigger than a 7.0. And it has 1,000 times more force. Wow. So, this was interesting. And that a 9.0 would be expected to last at least 4 minutes. 4 minutes of shaking instead of 15 seconds of shaking. Hard for me to imagine, but wow. And in addition to that, the tremors from it, and they would be large tremors, would continue to, they would last for years. The tremors would last for years after the initial earthquake, and they would be felt for hundreds of miles. So, what would that do to us? Get ready, I'd say. And that would mean that the disaster relief teams and their equipment would probably not come in for weeks afterwards until the aftershocks started to subside. Huge. It's just a huge thing to consider. I hope the dams would hold up. You know, we've got the one at Oroville and we have the one at Redding. Who knows what a huge earthquake shaking would do to them. So see, don't we want to have some emergency disaster supplies put away? Yep, I think it's a good idea. What are those basics? Water, food, and warmth. Whew, yep, it's a big thing. So, what about disaster relief? I'm sure there would be disaster relief because there's a lot of people who have compassion for other people. So there would be disaster relief. But I also have to think about how could we afford to pay for that disaster relief. Look, our nation is $21 trillion in debt. $21 trillion in debt. So who would lend us money? The other nations are all in debt also. How would we pay for disaster relief and repair? Where would we borrow that money from? We're talking big money here. Our debt, as I said, $21 trillion. And how big is that? I'd say million, billion, and trillion because it gives us something to relate to. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. And a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Yes, and we are $21 trillion in debt. Oh boy. So where would we borrow that money from? How would we pay for earthquake disaster relief? I don't know. Cascadia is a really big earthquake situation, but that's not the only one we have. An earthquake like that would mean we would not have electricity, we would not have gas, and we would not have groceries, at least for a while. So, yeah. Yeah, and don't panic, by the way. So, maybe you think you'll move to the East Coast or something, but there they have gigantic earthquake situations too. There's the New Madrid earthquake fault. That's huge. That is just huge, huge. And there's also the Yellowstone super caldera. These are all threats. Of course, nobody knows if or when any of them would happen. But that Yellowstone super caldera volcano would, if that went off, that would make all of our transportation stop because there would get to be, the Smithsonian Channel said that there would get to be at least a foot of ash caused in those surrounding states. And that it would be impossible to grow crops in that central area of the United States for 5 or 6 years. Wow. Wouldn't that change things? I think we'd have to grow some of our food in our own homes just to have enough to eat. So, yes, prepare. Prepare physically is the best you know how. And of course, prepare spiritually. Because that's where our real safety is, in Jesus Christ. Prepare spiritually. And many people have been in trouble, and they have called upon the name of Jesus, and they were miraculously saved from some situation. It's just amazing. So let us belong to Him so that we will, that He will hear us when we call upon His name. That's a good idea. So lots of things happen in history. We can look back and see lots of things of every sort that have happened. Of course, we tend to be focused on the difficulties and the tragedy of human history. Sure, we can look at that, and to me, all that says is be prepared, and that there's no way to know when something will happen. It's just that I see it's things have a certain cycle, and in my view, it's time for things to happen. So, yep, like I say, be prepared. So a lot of these things, when we have a good attitude towards something, it's always helpful. We have an individual choice to have a good attitude, and we have an individual choice to take actions, preparedness actions, and then we have the individual consequences of our choices to either do something or to do nothing. Everyone gets to determine that for their own selves. You get to decide, and you get the consequences. So for me, I know I am doing something about it. I'm just getting those plain old basic foods. I'm storing grain. And I'm also storing a manual grain grinder. And I think that's the responsible thing to do. Be responsible for yourself. And sure, there will be help that comes in, but when and how much, and if it's what you want, it is a good question. Sure, FEMA will certainly help. The Red Cross will certainly help, but we don't know the time frame. With an earthquake, if there are large aftershocks, it might take a few weeks or longer for help to arrive, or just the bureaucracy of help. Sometimes those agencies just take a month or two to really get in gear. So if you're thirsty or hungry, you don't have weeks. You need to have something on hand. So start with some simple and easy preparedness steps. You can do this for $25. You can do this for $50 just by getting some of those basic foods. Whatever those basic supplies are, buy some white rice, some beans, some sugar, some salt and oil. Now, those are pretty basic, but when you're hungry, everything tastes good. You can have some spices and flavorings. That's good also. And don't forget the jugs of water. It seems like after every emergency event, something happens to the water system. So if you go to the stores, they seem to have water for about $1 a gallon. So get a few gallons of water, too. For your food, you might want to put that into a 5-gallon plastic pail with a lid. And that way, you will have some supplies put away. It always starts someplace. You have to take your first steps. And after a few steps, after doing this a couple of times, you will start to have a decent amount of emergency preparations. And everybody has their own idea about how much you should have. I don't know how much you should have. It's a matter to pray about and think about. And you can start with those simple things, and later on you can upgrade anything you want. When you have extra money, you can get things maybe like a propane stove with extra 5-gallon tanks of propane. Maybe you could get a water filter or a big cast iron pot with a lid. All these things are good, and you just get to figure it out what makes the most sense to you. So, those basics, white rice, beans, sugar, salt, and oil, and a 5-gallon plastic pail to put it in, and the cast iron pot, propane stove with extra propane, yeah, that's the basics, and they will get you a good start. And by the way, it's white rice, not brown rice. Brown rice does not store for more than, maybe 6, maybe 12 months. But white rice stores forever. Well, they say it stores for 30 or 50 years. I don't know. I've never done that length of time. But get what you can afford to get and get something. You can add more quality or more variety or more flavors later on. But the point is, you start someplace. And when you get the salt, get iodized salt, because your body needs iodine, and there's no good source for iodine for most of us. And get the cast iron pot, because your body needs the iron for your blood. So get some of that iron, get some of that iodine in your salt. Those are both necessary for good health. You can always add flavors. You can always add spices. You can always have canned foods on hand also. Canned foods typically will be storable for 3 to 5 years. And I think it's always a good idea to put a date on the can so that you can rotate your supply. If it happens that you don't rotate your cans and you have old canned foods, they can get a certain metallic taste to them. And I don't think it's unhealthy, but it surely doesn't taste so good. There's plenty of people who have other ideas for foods to have also. A lot of people think of the military MREs, which means meals ready to eat. They are quick and easy. They're good. They don't have to be cooked. Some people think they're too expensive. You just make that judgment. And if you're backpacking, a lot of people have dehydrated meals, and they are good too. And those also, some people will consider those way too expensive. But there are choices. You have to find out what suits you. And remember that some things last a long, long time, like the pasta and potato flakes. And you can always add spices to make things tastier. Pasta and potato flakes will store for a long, long time, at least 25 years. You get to figure out what to add to it, and everybody has a different thought. For me, I like whole grains, especially whole wheat. I like wheat that it can be ground into bread, or it can be made into cookies or porridge, and I like that wheat can be sprouted. Sprouted wheat can supply your chlorophyll, which is means your greens, and you can also turn that into a wheatgrass juice if you have a wheatgrass juicer. They're not expensive either. So you just get to figure all these things out. And for your grain grinder or your wheatgrass juicer, they should be the manual kind of grinder, because we're not sure if we will have electricity. So, and this is for the just-in-case situations. So get a manual grinder. Now, how much wheat should you store? That's a question I think everybody has who looks into it. And FEMA says that if wheat is your primary food, you can expect to eat 275 pounds of wheat in 1 year. And while that kind of sounds like a lot, it will just about fit into a 55-gallon steel drum. But it's only 3/4 of a pound of wheat per day, plus the other things you add to it. So in a way, it's not that much. The other things would be sugar, salt, and oil. And also you can add spices. To me, the way I've looked at this is that if you were doing a lot of physical work, that would not be enough wheat. You would need to have about 450 pounds of wheat in a year, plus that sugar, salt, and oil. So those are just some ideas. You get to figure out how to apply this. So if there's other things that you'd like to know about, I do have my preparedness pamphlet, and you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I will send that right back to you. It can give you some ideas. And water is also such an important matter. You have to have good water, clean water to drink, and you might have to treat the water. In fact, just figure you will have to treat the water. The common way to do this is using unscented bleach. And if you have clear water, you would use 8 drops of bleach to a gallon. Let it stand for half an hour, and then you can drink it. If the water is cloudy, it would take 16 drops of water. 16 drops of bleach to a gallon of water. Another thing that people do is boil the water for 2 minutes or so. 1 to 3 minutes. And so there's various water filters that you can also use. Camping stores have a lot of water filters, and they all work good if you're just facing the normal water concerns. If you have a specific concern, like maybe chemicals in it, then you have a whole nother situation, and you have to do the research yourself to figure this out. But most of our situations are easy to fix with a plain, simple water filter. And just in case you don't treat your water or handle your food carefully, you should have some anti-diarrhea pills also. Have plenty of those, because if there's several people affected, you will need plenty. So remember your basic first aid needs also. Basic first aid is basic. It's so simple. You just need the basics: triple antibiotic ointment, gauze pads, and cloth medical tape. And of course, you can add to this a whole lot, but that's something everybody has to figure out for themselves. And some people are very concerned about the nuclear bombs or a nuclear accident. And if that's you, then you should have some potassium iodide pills on hand. That will protect your thyroid gland, if your thyroid gland absorbs radioactive iodine, which it tends to do very much, you will end up killing your thyroid gland, and then you take pills for the rest of your life. So it's just everybody has their own view. Everybody has their individual concerns, and you have to do your own research and find out the answers that you are satisfied with. Along the way of looking for the problems, you'll want to be concerned with other people. You will always want to give comfort and show hope to other people. That's just what we do. If we don't do this, people have a tendency to lose hope, and that's not something you want. There is hope in life, and there is hope in Jesus Christ. So you just remember as you go along the way, and remember that we Americans, we are resourceful, and we can get through all sorts of difficulties. And there could be financial difficulties, too. Don't forget that one. Conserve your money. Be wise with your money. That is important. I have this. There's these money fund managers. There's 10 of them here that I quoted a couple of months ago. And I'm going to do it again because to me, it's an indicator that we certainly could be having problems. What they are is anyone's guess, but these men who are large money fund managers think that there is a problem coming. David Stockman said that a crisis is imminent. Scott Minard says a crisis will be in 2019. Paul Tudor Jones says a 2019 crisis and large inflation will accompany it. Ray Dalio says there will be a crisis in 2019 or 2020. John Hussman, the timing is anyone's guess, but there will be a 50% stock market drop. Jim Rogers, expect a biblical scale collapse beginning 2018 or 2019, and it will be the worst of his lifetime. Gerald Celente, the conditions are right for a financial panic to occur. James Dale Davidson, the recovery is an illusion because it was founded by debt, so a collapse is looming. Chris Martinson says if a credit expansion does not happen, a currency crisis will result. Andrew Smithers says conditions are similar to the 1999 drop, as well as the 1929 event when stocks dropped 89%. So those are some money fund managers. There's another one here, Jacob Rothschild of France. Last summer, he warned people in his investment group to move their assets out of the United States because the government is overspending and this makes the economy unsustainable. He also said that the world would see a crash unlike anything that the world had ever seen. Okay. Now, that's what some people say who are very involved in the financial community. Every one of these men can be wrong. We don't know that anything will happen, and we don't know when anything will happen, but all of these men, they know things that we don't because they follow the situations. So what if they were correct? What would we do? I think it only makes sense to consider their viewpoint and say, well, what if there is a great big economic difficulty coming our way? What would we do? And I think that it's a forewarning that we can consider. Say, well, maybe this will happen. And if it does, what would we do? What if our economy was to have a big shortfall, call it a crash, I don't know. But if there was a big problem, what would we do? These are men that have importance in the financial community. And they're just men. Men have always been involved in financial things, and they've always tried to control situations. But they've really never succeeded that well. There were booms and busts. That's just history. The financial people have taken advantage of the people who were in the process of crashing. They bought things up for a song. I mean, for a small amount of money. And look at the crash of 1929. That was an example. And the depression that followed it in the 1930s was an example. We have things happen all through the years. You can look at 1971 when the United States went off the gold standard. We had 10 years of inflation. And during those 10 years, the dollar, the U.S. dollar, lost half of its buying power. Again, 10 years after that, in 1981, the mortgage rates went up to 18%. So sure, things happen. There was the 2008 event. Some people call that a crash. Now, since 2008, we have four times more U.S. dollars in existence today than there were 10 years ago. It does look like something's happening, but what it'll be and when it will be, I don't think we know. It's going to be a surprise. But let's get ready for a surprise and do what we can. We know that historically, debt has not been good for people to have. And we also know that lots of people have benefited by having basic preparations, and you can prepare in different ways. Of course, there's the physical way, and of course, there's the spiritual way. And the other part is having a community. If we each prepare in ways that we understand and can rely on each other, we all have a chance to benefit from each other's provisions. So meanwhile, remember to think, plan, and do. And let each one of us remember that God's great commandment is something we can pay attention to, which is to love God and to love our neighbor. That's the short version of Matthew 22:37, which is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the first and great commandment and is similar to the second commandment, which is to love your neighbor as thyself. Quite a lot to pay attention to, isn't it? It's a lot to say, and it's a lot to do. Oh, if you would like a copy of that my preparedness pamphlet, it has some ideas about food in it also. So please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. It's a free pamphlet. I always like to give them away, and hopefully it will give you some ideas. Oh, and also remember, you can listen to this or any other past broadcasts again by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. So thank you for listening today. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.